So first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for organizing this wonderful conference and for giving me this opportunity. So I'm going to discuss the time symmetry in decoherence and stable facts. So I did this work while at the Santé de Physique Théorique, Aix-Marseille University. I was supervised in my master's internship by Professor Carlo Rovelli and Andrea Di Biagio. So these are the rough motivations of my work. So first of all, this work is based on a previous work by Andrea Di Biagio et al., where they showed that quantum mechanics is fundamentally time symmetric. They showed that the prediction probability, the value of the prediction probability is exactly equal to the post-prediction probability. So what is the prediction probability? It is the probability of an output X, an evolved state X, given a particular prepared state A. Well, the post-prediction probability is the probability of the prepared state given an output state X. So for closed quantum systems, we see that the prediction probability and the post-prediction probability are exactly equal. But the question is that where then does the error of time emerge from? If quantum mechanics is fundamentally time symmetric, then why do we have time asymmetry in laboratory measurements of quantum mechanics? So it was speculated that this asymmetry emerges from the process of decoherence because decoherence requires an increase in entropy, and so we have a thermodynamic error of time. But in my work, I will try to show that this is not so, that decoherence is a completely time symmetric process. Finally, I will try to argue that the asymmetry actually emerges because of the asymmetry in our arrow of inference. This is because we have abundance of traces in the past, and we do not have traces of the future. So I will begin from open quantum systems. Open quantum systems can be decomposed into a system and an environment. So we have an input Hilbert space and output Hilbert space of this form. So this is a pictorial representation of open quantum systems. It was described in the same work by Andrea Di Biagio et al. So here we can see from the picture itself that there is a time asymmetry emerging here. This is because for the prediction probability, we see that the identity is in one direction, while for the post-prediction probability, the identity is in the opposite direction. This here is a normalized identity. So to understand why this asymmetry emerges, we need to know what the physical meaning of this identity and the normalized identity is. So when we consider an identity operator here, we mean that we are tracing out the environment. So we trace out the environment in the direction of our inference. For prediction probability, we trace out the evolved state, and for post-prediction probability, we trace out the prepared state. The normalized identity represents our ignorance about the system. So it represents the ignorance about the prepared state of the environment in case of prediction. Well, for post-prediction, it represents our ignorance about the evolved state of the environment. So we see here that the time symmetry is not broken because of any fundamental asymmetry in quantum mechanics. It emerges, this arrow of time emerges because of the asymmetry in our direction of inference, because of the asymmetry asymmetry of the information that we have about the system. So this motivates the need for a perspectival arrow of time. So what is this perspectival arrow of time? So it says that the direction of increase of entropy, that is a thermodynamic arrow of time, depends upon the macroscopic coarse graining of the system that we are considering. But this is not something subjective. It is determined by the coupling between the subsystems. So the most relevant example of this coarse graining is the thermodynamic system that models memory. So this system was analyzed by Professor Carlo Rovelli in a very recent work, and he showed that the coupling determines the increase in entropy. For example, for here we see that there are some moving black balls which collide with some pendulums which were initially at rest. And since there is some transfer of energy between the moving balls and the pendulum, so there is an increase in entropy. So this gives an upper bound to the information that is contained in the pendulums. The pendulums are the memory system, so they hold the memory of the collision. So this information, the upper bound of this information can be given by an equation of this form, where we have a temperature difference between the system and the memory. And we have a thermalization time of the memory and a thermalization time of the system memory combined. So now I come to the notion of relative and stable facts. This is important because this work is done in the framework of RQM. So in RQM, we have relative facts occurring at every interaction between two systems. stable facts are a subset of these relative facts, where the interference, that is the mixed terms, can be approximately neglected. So what this physically means is that a fact relative to F, a fact relative to a system F, seems as if it has become true for another system W, without W even interacting with F. So this was formulated by Andrea De Biagio et al. In a recent paper, where they gave a mathematical formulation of this, where we have the probability of an event B, which is relative to a system W, and it can be written as equal to the summation of conditional probabilities multiplied by the probability of a set of events AI relative to another system F. The system W does not interact with F, but the stability condition ensures that it seems to us as if the fact relative to F has become true for W as well. So this does not happen by its own accord. We need the process of decoherence for these interference terms to disappear, to become negligible. So stability is not just approximate, it is also relational as well, because it depends upon the coupling between the systems, between the W and the F. So it has been discussed in some previous talks that this process of decoherence that I just described requires an increase of entropy. And this is the reason why we have an irreversible error of time in laboratory measurements. So this is the question that we are trying to ask in our work. Are stable facts time oriented, unlike relative facts? Does the process of decoherence introduce an irreversible error of time in quantum mechanics? So for this, we look closer at the process of decoherence. We take three systems, W, F, and S. We assume that F and S are qubits, which describe some physics relative to the system W. And when W does not interact with FS, these two evolve unitarily with respect to W. So this unitary evolution is described by a controlled unitary gate with a general U2 matrix. And in RQM, this means that the Z observable of S becomes a fact relative to F after delta T intervals. But these conditions are not enough for decoherence. For decoherence, we need a coupling as well. So we assume that W interacts with S at t equal to zero in a way that it can assign the arbitrary state A get zero plus B get one to S at time t equal to zero. W never interacts with F. This is the second assumption of our coupling that is needed for the decoherence. So at time t equal to zero, W assigns the most appropriate state to F. Since it has never interacted with F, it assigns the normalized thermal state. So after time interval delta t, we can calculate the evolved state of the system S using some linear algebra and taking the partial trace. So this gives us an equation of this form, where we see that there are two mixed terms. So for facts to become stable, we need the coefficients of these terms to become negligible. So for this, we need this equation to hold. Now we do the same thing for time reversal. Instead of taking an evolution over delta t, we take an evolution over minus delta t. Once again, we see that we have two mixed terms, which have two coefficients, which need to become negligible in order for facts to attain stability. So once again, we see that we have the same equation that we had for plus delta t. So this shows that there is no arrow of time needed for decoherence. When decoherence happens forward in time, it also happens backward in time. So there's a time symmetry in decoherence. So what this actually means here, this replacing of delta t by minus delta t, is that we are replacing prediction probabilities by post-prediction probabilities. So the stability of facts does not rely on whether we are predicting or post-predicting. So therefore, we need to look for the asymmetry elsewhere. So for that, we analyze the fact that an asymmetry in our arrow of inference emerges in laboratory measurements of quantum mechanics because of the abundance of traces of the past. We can predict future events using Bond's rule, while past events are already recorded in form of traces. So we don't need to use the Bond's rule. So this constitutes the asymmetry. So our new notion of traces is that we need a simple quantum mechanical model that would show us the reason for this reduction of uncertainty for past events. So for this, we take a system S and register R. At time t1, S and R are both projected on a computational basis. And this combined system SR is evolved from time t1 to t2 using unitary operation. So we also evolve the system S separately under a unitary operation. Otherwise, it would be trivial because we would be able to know the initial state of the system by just knowing the final state of the system. So we would not need a trace. At time t2, S and R are once again projected on the computational basis. And the aim of our model is that we want to know with certainty the state at time t1 of the system S from the information available to us at t2, that is the present time. So this information is what the trace is. So for this, we use the fundamental entangling gate C0 to evolve the combined system SR. And we see from this expression here that in order for us to know the initial state of the system S, which is psi, we need to know whether the initial state of the register is in 0 or 1. Because if the initial state of the register was 0, then the final state of the register would be exactly the same as the initial state of the system S. While if the register was initially 1, then we would have the state orthogonal to the initial state of the system S. So we cannot know with certainty the initial state of S without knowing the initial state of the register R. So what we can do to solve this problem is we could take a second register. This would allow us to know the initial state of the first register, but this would create another problem because then we would have to know the initial state of the second register. We could take a third register and so on, but ultimately this would result in an infinite regression and this would not work. So we need somehow to break this infinite regression. So one way that we could break this infinite regression is by adding an irreversible circuit component in our circuit. So for this, we can take an irreversible classical gate, which can obviously be using reversible computation, be fundamentally decomposed into an equivalence class of reversible quantum gates and extra qubits. The simplest example of this classical circuit component would be if for the nth register Rn, we use the reversible operation, of using the same input twice. What this actually means is that we are coarse graining the quantum correlations between the registers Rn and Rn plus 1. We have a coarse grained information because we do not have the information about the ancilla qubit, that is the register Rn plus 1. So this would, of course, break the infinite regression because we no longer need to know the initial state of the register Rn plus 1. But this would result in some increase in entropy as there is some loss in information, and this would make the process irreversible. So this shows that the formation of traces is an irreversible process. So the conclusions of our work is that we discussed two different notions of coarse graining, one for decoherence, where we ignored some couplings between subsystems and assumed the others. And for traces, we took a coarse grained irreversible circuit, and we saw that time symmetry still holds in decoherence, and the coarse graining of decoherence has nothing to do with an arrow of time. So the stability of facts, so this, in the domain of stable facts, we still have time symmetry. While in the simple quantum mechanical model of traces, where we tried to reduce the uncertainty, we tried to model the reduction of uncertainty using traces, we saw that the formation of traces occurs only in one time direction. There is an irreversible process. This is also intuitive as well, because as I discussed earlier, there is some new information created in traces. So some new information has to come from somewhere. So it has to come from some loss of information. And loss of information would, of course, mean an increase in entropy. So this is the end of my talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the talk. Let me check whether there are questions. Yes, Czaslaw Puchner has a question.
Hi, very, very nice talk. I really enjoyed it. So there is some kind of connection to some work of that we have done together with Gonzalo and Giulio Rubino, where we consider intentionally superposition of two time directions, thermodynamical times. And now the logic is somewhat inverted, so I would like to know a comment. And where it turns out that by measuring entropy, you project on a well-defined time direction. So it's a kind of, one would say, now I project on time direction increases the entropy. So, but one can think about the environment measuring exactly entropy and forcing then the process to go into a well-defined time. So I don't know. Maybe I can look at from that point of view your result as well. It would be interesting. Like what kind of decoherence, not the one which is just the coherence to stable facts, as you call it, but the one which will move into the time, well-defined time. What the nature of this is exactly? It's more of a comment.
So if I understand correctly, measuring time actually results in some increase in entropy, right?
No, not measuring time. It's exactly that. So you don't want to touch the time. You have like a two-directional time evolution.
Yeah.
But then you measure the system and through some process that goes both time in time, both time directions. And you see that whenever you see the process, when you measure the entropy in this process and you see, for example, the increase of an entropy, they will say, now after that measurement, I will look see the process again. And I see that it decohered into the well-defined time. And if you get a large entropy negative, then you say, it decohered in another time direction, which anyway, you can call forward always. But it was the nature of interaction between the system undergoing both time directionality and the environment, a very particular one, and not the one about the entropy, interestingly, that produced then directionality in time.
That's very interesting. Actually, I would like to read up the work if you could send a link.
Yeah. Somehow it's very much related to what you are telling as well. And it was nice to hear.
Thanks. So let's continue with our, we have time for one more question. Carlo, you have?
If there's time. Yeah, no, I think what Czaslaw is saying, it's very interesting. And I think it's compatible with Anirban has presented. It's distinct. If somehow Anirban was saying, if there is an increasing in entropy because of this or that, then we understand what happened in a measurement, so to say. And Czaslaw, you're saying, but quantum mechanically, we might be sort of in a superposition of this and the opposite. So I think that they're compatible, this thing, but the underlying logic is the same, namely the structure of the world, as far as we know from our best theory, does not distinguish between the past and the future. Everything that people are surprised about the future, the strangeness and determines the future, is also true for the past. And I think both your result and this result emphasize the same fact. Of course, there is a contingent fact that given the macroscopic variables we have and the measurement we have done, the entropy was low in the past. But that's the only source of time orientation, the arrow of time.
Yeah, I would agree. This could be a posteriori.
Yeah. Just if your audio is off.
Us, I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. No, I agree with this. That's all what I want to say.
Okay.